thank you. Our first public hearing is subdivision 2006-31 South Shore Builders LLC.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, by dividing 33.71 acres into 24 lots, also requesting a variance from the maximum cul-de-sac length of 1,000 feet for a site being located west of Road 38, 250 feet north of Road 232. The application was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if we have any additional comments.
Mr. Chairman, on June the 4th of this year, the applicant submitted a revised preliminary plan addressing the concerns and comments made by the TAC Committee. On September 12th, we received a letter of no objection from DelDOT. On September 17th, the applicant's engineer submitted an exhibit booklet that each of you has been provided a copy with. On the 24th of this month, the applicant's attorney submitted an exhibit booklet. We received two letters from Sharon Morgan in opposition to this application. That'll be made a part of record, and I'll pass that down for your review. That's all I have.
All right, sir, we thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Willard.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. Tim Willard with Fuquay and Yuri from Georgetown here on the circle. And I represent the applicant. I know you got one later on with a lot of participants here. I'm going to try to be as efficient as possible. There are individuals here to answer your questions if you have them. First, let me tell you that the applicant is South Shore Builders, and the principals are here. This is Mike Emmett right here on the row here, and this is Joe DeFrancesco. This is their wetlands expert from BSA, Jeff Perry, who you have a report from him. And most of you know John Murray from Kircher Engineer. He's the engineer on this site. You have two books that I'm going to be referring to, and I apologize. There's some redundant because John put one in, I put one in, but we wanted to make sure you had everything. And I may refer to both of them. The subdivision is being referred to. It's 2006-31. It's named Winding Brook of States, which is probably apropos. It's a fairly modest by right subdivision. You have the plot up here, and I'm sorry we don't have one for the public. I don't know if anybody's here on this, but they can come look at it. But I'm going to move this forward a little bit, if I may. It's also tab one in my book and tab one in Mr. Kircher's book that folds out, and it's pretty much the same. As you can see, Winding Brook is a 24-lot subdivision with a winding road on it, and there's a small brook, which is probably not the technical term, but a stream that when I visited it was dry, that goes through the back portion of it, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. The location of the site is just southeast of Lincoln, northeast of Ellendale. If you were going up 113 and headed west through Ellendale, and you took a left north right after the railroad tracks there, and you headed up Ponder Road for about 2 miles, 2.5 miles, you run into an intersection where you can head left, and you can see the site map in the corner of that plot, and that's Clendaniel Pond Road. The area is primarily agricultural and residential. Mr. Kirchner's got a good map. If you look at his appendix 2, second page is an aerial, just to give you an idea of the location. And this is important for your 99.9 considerations as well. You can see, this is the one I'm referring to, you can see a lot of farmland, but there's a lot of fairly similar subdivisions in the area. Winding Brook is over there. We have Meadows of Cubbage Pond, Cedar Villas, South Shore, Cedar Creek. They're closer to Lincoln. And to the west of the Winding Brook proposal is Heritage Farm, Village of Jeff Crossroads, and King's Crossing. As to the site itself, it's approximately a little over 33 acres. As you can see from the aerial and also the site map, that this rear portion, about 10 acres, is wooded. About 3 acres of the property is wetland, federal wetland, and it constitutes a Blue Line Perennial Stream. And Mr. Perry can tell you a little bit more about what that means, but it's a small stream that is demarked. I'm sorry. Do you have a smaller one? But there's a small stream that goes through here. As far as the wetland delineations, which he did, it widens a little more there, but there's approximately 3.5 acres. The design has lots that all are equal to or exceed the minimum required of 3/4 acres, 32,670 feet. Every lot has at least a frontage of 100 feet and at least a depth at the road midpoint of 100 feet. The road itself would be 50 feet, or Meade County specs, I think it's 50 feet. No wetlands would be disturbed by any lot, or no lot would be on any wetlands. The only potential disturbance of wetland, which is calculated 0.09, and we believe, quite frankly, is a feature of this subdivision, would be the access to the four lots in the rear of the property. And that would be through a bridge. And we spent some time with that, speaking to DelDOT, as well as speaking to the fire marshal. Mr. Perry has discussed it. It'd be premature to do any of the permitting. But when we say a feature of Winding Brook will actually be that, what's proposed is a timber bridge. And I don't know if you've had any experience with them in the Planning Commission. You may have seen them before. But if you turn to tab 7, and I'm sure you probably haven't or will not plow through all those, but those are the DelDOT bridge designs for timber bridge structures. The benefit of a timber bridge structure are kind of twofold. Number one is there's just minimum intrusion. And in a small residential village like this, where you're only accessing four lots in the rear, six lots, it seems like the ideal almost amenity, because you don't want to disturb anything, you need a minimum use. DelDOT approves these. If the space underneath it is over 20 square feet, then you have to do certain permitting. We'll do whatever we have to in that regard. This is the plan for this, and I've talked to the engineer at DelDOT who gave me that information. On tab 8 of my book, you'll see an example of a timber bridge. These are both, this is in Sussex County actually. They're fairly modest and looks kind of natural. The fire marshal defers to DelDOT in permitting these as far as what they need to be able to get a tank or the appropriate trucks across there. I think that has another picture of the underside of it. Just the top of it, it can look like a normal road. There, we may get a little more elaborate on it, and there's on tab 9, you can see other design build standards for that, as well as in tab 10, pictures of more elaborate timber design bridges. And that's the intent for this, because you know it's a unique piece of property with this brook, and we see it, or the applicant sees it, as actually a feature. And to the extent, the only wooded portion of the lot is in the rear. Their intention is to remove the minimal amount of trees possible for the road and to clear it, and these will, in fact, because of the bridge and because of the location, be the most desirable lots, or perhaps, you know, more expensive for that reason, but more desirable because of their seclusion and their location over the bridge. There'll be approximately 6.9 acres of wetland. That includes, of open space, and that includes the wetland and the stormwater. This area, it's not depicted on there, but it's we also consider as an amenity. There's approximately, in that spit that goes north, an acre and a half. A 3.49, it's bigger than that. To the west end of it is actually the brook, and the rest of it is wooded. And there's a plan to have a wooded trail there, or at least leave it as open space, not only for wildlife, but for the residents of the community. There are 24 lots. To the extent this area is being tilled, this is tilled, this is agriculture. There's the necessary 30-foot agriculture buffer for the length of this and the length of this, and also for the southerly. As to the 99.9 features, Mr. Murray has actually spelled out in his tab plan considerations. in some detail how those things are going to be considered. There is a natural grade in this property down to the brook, and there'll be a minimal amount of site work necessary because of that. The stormwater is planned for here, and there shouldn't be much disruption here. All sites will be served by individual well. We've both given you at least the DENREC feasibility letter saying that on-site septic for each site is feasible. In fact, there are no sand mounds on this property, and this property in the rear has some of the best soils. You also have from DelDOT a letter of no objection, reference the entrance. You also have a letter, tab 4, in my booklet, I think from the Milford School District, indicating this district will be served by them. There is a plan, or it can be put, that is a bus stop up front. We'd obviously have to give the necessary easements, but I think I included that in my proposed conditions. You also have a letter from the Ellendale Fire Company indicating that they would provide service to this facility. The project would obviously have to be approved, reference stormwater by Soils Conservation District, DENREC. You have in your packet from Mr. Murray, the Homeowners Association, as well as a maintenance corporation for maintenance of the roads. There will be a mandatory Homeowners Association with mandatory assessments. They will be responsible for maintaining all open space, wetlands, the roads, as well as the buffer areas. And that's required by you, and it's something that they obviously want. Finally, I think you have at the end of my booklet to you some proposed conditions, which I won't go through, but reiterate with conditions what we intend to do there and have some of the boilerplate you usually like as far as construction time and things like that. South Shore, I haven't represented Mike and Joe before. They've done some projects here before. They got one underway in Sussex. And it's my belief, having been involved in this project in a little bit of time now, they have a pretty good reputation to a project. They see them through. So that's all I have as far as my presentation. If you want to hear from Mr. Murray, Mr. Perry, Mr. Emmett, or Mr. DeFrancesco, they're certainly available to take any questions.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you. And we'll start with Mr. Burton.
Yes, thank you. I didn't read the covenants, but who would maintain the bridge? Would that fall on the Homeowners Association?
Yeah, absolutely. The Homeowners Association it would, because it's part of the roadway, so.
Okay. Is there any walking trails? You make mention of the scenic brook and how it's a feature. Is there any way that anybody other than the people that live on the lots can enjoy those features?
Well, this 3 acres here, this is all upland right here, and that's intended for a walking trail. We discussed it. We were reluctant to map it on there until unless we sited it out there. Just we didn't want to draw an arbitrary line, and I believe I put it as a condition that the open space would be provided for a nature trail. If I didn't, that's our intention. Because I've been out there twice, walked the property with Joe and Mike, and it's a nice piece of ground. So that's the intention. It's a relatively small subdivision. But, you know, the bridge itself and the roadway will probably be a nice place to walk or ride a bike to the extent it's excluded. But
okay, you mentioned the woods removal. There would be minimal disturbance.
Absolutely, it's an asset for the development. The intention is only to remove what's necessary, and that's obviously some trees. If you look at the aerial, it's fairly dense. When you know, I walk through here, there's some hardwood, and some holly, and things like that. So it's not like you can't walk through it. But the intention is to keep this area completely forested, but for the fact you got to get a road through there, and to try to make the minimal lot coverage for the home. The homes, by the way, to protect the value of the properties, the homeowners association has pretty standard but strict covenants as far as the building association monitoring that. Minimum lot size for, I think, a one-story would be 1,800 square feet. For a two-story, 2,300.
This may be a question more for Mr. Lank. Is the buffer different? It's 30 feet from the ag. Is it not 30 feet from the Jefferson Trust? Would that not be a 30-foot buffer?
Is it an agricultural use?
John, you want to take that one, if you know what they're talking about?
The land of Byron and Deborah Jefferson Trust, would that be an agricultural use?
I think that's already off forest. This is John, this area behind here.
John Murray, Kircher Engineering, located here in Georgetown. The buffers that have been shown are buffers adjacent to lands that are currently being used for agricultural purposes that are not wooded, that are actively being tilled. It's been the practice, at least in the past, plans that we've submitted where we have shown those buffers as required adjacent to properties that are actively being used for agricultural purposes. Typically, we've had subdivisions that have obtained preliminary approval before, but we have not shown buffers where there is already a wooded environment.
So what is the buffer on lot 16 and 15?
There are no buffers for lots 11 through 16, which are past the tributary of Chapel Branch. There are no planned buffers in that area. That area in the back is completely wooded.
Now, the question would be, is it wooded or is it in a woodlands conservation program with Department of Agriculture? If it's considered a tree farm, it's considered active.
That I'm not aware of. I'd have to check.
We would have to verify.
And then, you all right, Tim? You thinking? Or?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Right. I was checking. Sometimes you'll see on the notation on the deed that it'll say it is a trust, but I remember, I can't positively answer. I would be surprised if it was a trust, but I'll check it out if you give us the time to submit that. I don't think it is. If it is, we don't have a problem with the size of those lots doing the buffer at all if you want to make it a condition.
Okay. The your place for your stormwater management seems to be incredibly close to the brook. Has that been cited as the place it's going to be?
I think it was chosen because that would cause the least amount of grading, but I'll have to defer to John on that.
The location was chosen because it's closest to where the ultimate discharge location for stormwater runoff would be. If we were to be approved and move forward with a development plan for this subdivision, stormwater management would be located in that area, closest to the branch. It's just there's no other location in terms of releasing that stormwater runoff after treatment in the stormwater management facility other than the tributary of Chapel Branch.
So the outfall is the...
Correct.
Is the, okay. And how wide is the proposed bridge? Is that a del dot or a fire lane?
It's a del dot. It's going to be dictated by del dot. I imagine... it all depends on how it has to be engineered, so I really can't answer that question. It's going to be as wide as it have to be and maybe more.
Would there be any walking? Do they require walking areas on those bridges?
I don't think they require it, but to the extent we're, you know, we see this as an amenity, that it's something that we're going to pursue. You know, again, it hasn't been engineered. We haven't had costs, but that's sort of the vision for this, that bridge is really something that, you know, we want to highlight.
And you made mention of a bus stop.
Yeah, I've talked to the Milford superintendent's office, and they couldn't commit one way or the other whether they wanted one.
No further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Willard, I heard Mr. Abbott state in the beginning that there were some changes that were made in response to the TAC comments. Could you summarize for us what those changes might have been?
Yeah, I'm probably going to defer to Mr. Murray. I think one of the principal things was there was some stormwater that was located more in the wooded area, and that was moved out because it didn't. Why don't, before I misspeak, why don't John?
I still need the bell.
The two primary changes we made to the plan were initially we had left an open space area around the south side of Lot 13 in the back, which is at the end of the cul-de-sac. It was an area that didn't really make sense to have open space. It was going to be difficult to access it if we were to use it for any sort of amenity. And we also added a buffer. I believe the initial plan that we submitted, we had a 30-foot buffer along the, I don't want to butcher it, but the Mandrake property to the south. We were not showing a forested buffer adjacent to the lands of Violet and Sharon Ann Morgan. And that buffer was added with the most current plan.
And along those same lines, Mr. Willard, I'll refer you to, and you might want to stand up to one appendix two that was submitted to us by Kircher Engineering, referencing the plus comments. It has to deal with a section that was provided by DENREC, and that's your. The pages aren't numbered, but anyhow, it's dealing with. Your project, and one of the things they state in there is that they highly recommend that the applicant omit lot numbers 12 to 16 and associated infrastructure. Have you found that section?
Yeah, I have it right here. I was aware of that. It's a rare species in forest and wetlands.
Yes.
Yeah.
Looking down next to the forest and the wetland loss. And how might you respond to that?
Well, I'd first respond to it is that's what maybe I would expect them to say. We've done, or I remember Sweetwater we did down in Millsboro where we had a little lot off of some wetlands, and I think they had the same comments. Obviously, their interest is in not disturbing any forest or disturbing any wetlands. In this approach, it's the absolute minimal disturbance as far as, you know, the bridge, 0.09, as far as the forest. The only way I can respond to that is there will be some cleared to make these houses in there. I will note, however, it is a little frustrating sometimes you get from PLUS and other people boilerplate, and I'm not saying that this is not what they want, but if you'll notice, you know, we have not surveyed this property, therefore, so they didn't, I guess that means they haven't gone out and walk the property, or does that mean they officially haven't surveyed it?
I don't mean to interrupt you. I think that's more in reference to the rare species, and that's...
Oh, okay. Surveyed for rare species?
Right. They haven't gone out and looked for bugs and plants on it, but...
I don't know, other than that's their position, and it's our position to do the absolute minimal we have to disturb it, but it's a permitted subdivision otherwise, and that... I would hope you'd agree that the applicants have approached this thoughtfully as far as, you know, the bridge and the timber bridge and trying to do it that way. I don't know if DENREC's walk the property, but a lot can be said for walking and seeing what the forest looks like.
And then with the last paragraph, are they concerned about the stormwater management ponds being in the forested area? Have they been pulled out, or are they still there? And your proposed.
It's no longer in the forested area. That was
so that
when
was
I was making
your,
mention
was
before.
Responses to the
right when I was that. Making mention to the open space slash stormwater management, which I believe is what we had pegged at as on our original plan. Again, it was at the rear of lot 13, and it's been removed and relocated to the open space on the other side of the tributary here, where you can see hopefully on your plan where the woods line is. It falls along. The tributary of Chapel Branch, so we wouldn't have to clear any trees for the stormwater management facility.
Yeah, I don't know if that's an issue that you all are concerned about lately, about clearing trees for stormwater, but we've addressed that in this case. That none will be, so no stormwater in the forest areas, and no clearing trees for stormwater.
That's a good first step. Now, what about a buffer? I understand that there's no wetlands are contained in any of the lots. Is there any additional buffer between those lots and those wetlands?
There have been none shown on this plan. We're not showing any encroachment of the lots into the wetlands. Of course, the homeowners are restricted by the location of the building restriction lines, as outlined in the zoning and subdivision ordinance. So there would not allow to be any structures in the immediate vicinity of those wetlands.
I think in the rear it would be at least minimum 20 feet, 30, 20, 15, 15. I think the requirement for wetland buffers is in state wetlands.
So the answer is there isn't really any additional buffer from the lot lines to the wetlands.
There's no location of the delineated wetland environment would form an actual boundary
for the lots
of some of the lots, correct?
And you described the one stormwater management pond there that's bordering on the wetlands, and I understand that's one of the concerns of DENREC. Is that there is not any buffer provided from that stormwater management pond to the wetlands. Am I correct?
Correct. But again, with the nature of the topography in that area, the stormwater management structure would not be directly adjacent to the wetlands in that it would not abut that wetland line. The open space is shown and delineated on the plan. It is adjacent to where the delineated wetlands are, but you can see how the topography in this area, right along this tributary, falls off down, of course, into the natural low spot. So there is no immediate plan. Of course, there's been no design undertaken, but there would be no plan whatsoever to go down closer to the wetlands. Again, it would be the ultimate outfall location for the stormwater runoff. That's it seems natural for it to go there, but there wouldn't be any sort of structures placed in that area.
But a buffer might be possible between
a buffer would be possible, yes.
Okay. And no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. We thank you, Mr. Gordy.
Show me again where the wetlands are.
If you look on the plan, I know it comes out rather faint, but it's located in this band right along this tributary of Chapel Branch. It actually starts location up here. It meanders close to leaving the property, and then it widens down through this area where the roadway initially enters the woods line. So it's running in a band. The scale on this plan is 100, so if you're looking at it, this band in here would probably vary anywhere from 100 feet wide to, at its widest point, probably about 150 to 175 feet wide.
So your long dashed lines you're showing
here?
Yes.
Those are actually soil lines.
Yeah, they're not wetlands.
No, they're simply delineating the soils as identified in the soils data table on the plan.
The wetlands are actually mostly inside of those. If you look at the wetland line, it's a half circle, and the half circle points inwards to where the wetlands are.
Describe the area there for me again as far as housing.
Oh, fine.
The immediate area.
If you look, I think the best way to look at it, Mr. Gordy, is if you look at the Kircher Exhibit Appendix 2, where you have an aerial.
It's in Appendix 2. It's actually Sheet 2.
Sheet 2, Appendix 2. You see the aerial photograph? And it doesn't, when I approach the property on several occasions, I come up through Ponder Road, and that would be down this way. And as you approach that, there's a spattering of residential areas there. But what's pinpointed on there is mainly subdivisions that sort of encircle it. Across the way is tilled land, as you can see, and on either side is tilled land.
So is there any strip lotting out there now, or?
A little bit, like right next to the property, there's several houses. If you go up the street, they're not depicted very well. You see a couple lots, three or four lots that are shaved out that are kind of blurry, especially along Road 38. When you get towards King's Crossing, there's several, looks like strip lots that way. When I was driving around, you can vaguely see them.
And you could actually probably pick it out on your subdivision plan if you look where Lot 1 is.
Mm-hmm.
Lot 1, there would actually not be a new home place at that location. There's an existing home on the property.
Okay.
Lot 1's dimensions were specifically created that way to preserve that home and fit within the requirements of the county.
All the questions I have.
All right, so Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do think I understand the application. I do have a question. Is there anyone from BSA that's here tonight?
This is Jeff Perry.
Jeff Perry, BSA.
And if you'd just be kind enough to give the commission your credentials.
I'm a wetland scientist and soil scientist, probably about 30 years experience in Delaware.
All right. Thank you.
That's it.
No other questions?
All right, sir. Mr. Lang?
No, all my questions have been answered.
Mr. Couts?
I'm sorry, I didn't have is this a cluster subdivision?
No, this is straight by right, AOR, three-quarter, well, on-site septic.
With the extensive wetland and valuable forest land, this would be an ideal site for a cluster subdivision. Did you give it any consideration?
I did not. I don't know if Don, I came on a little late.
It was something that we briefly discussed at the very preliminary stages of the planning, but with the nature of the other developments in the area, that didn't seem to really fit with what's out there now. I mean, there are some other developments as shown, and those developments, some of them do have a higher density than what there is here, but in the immediate vicinity, there aren't cluster developments where it would be similar.
Density isn't the only issue with a cluster development. The purpose of a cluster development primarily is where you've got important, valuable natural resources. That's one of the things that the cluster allows you to do, is to serve those areas.
Well, one of the targets of South Shore Builders is for, as was mentioned in the plan considerations, was that the plan is for selective clearing of those six lots in the back. Of course, there'll have to be a roadway established with a right-of-way. There would have to be a location established for a home. There would have to be a location established for a septic system. One of the reasons we were looking at the timber bridge and it was settled on was because it's so much less of an impact than just going ahead and planning a standard, if you will, county cross-section where those wetlands would basically be filled to a certain extent, and essentially possibly cause habitat loss just by that filling operation. Also, by doing that, this tributary, I would consider, and Jeff can correct me if I'm wrong, I would consider it to be ephemeral, where there's almost water in it only when there's higher storm events. When you do the timber bridge, that completely lessens that impact in that wetland environment. In fact, 9 times out of 10, the Army Corps of Engineers approves of it because the pilings that are driven for the bridge actually wind up becoming part of the habitat.
But that's not my point. My point is, with the smaller lots and different locations, you don't need the bridge, you don't need the septic systems, you don't need the houses in the areas where the woods are.
But your point's a good one, but it's really hard to answer unless you've done it, you know, and I don't think the applicant has done it, so I don't think we can answer your question. You know, sometimes I remember approaching you with a cluster and then showing you the by right one, and it's very helpful. I'm sorry, I'm not sure what it would look like. I know you'd have smaller lots. I know the purpose of the cluster. I don't know if it would obviate the need to even get across there. It all depends on how many lots you do, I guess. It's a good question. But
What special considerations are you giving for the excellent recharge area in the front? Any particular?
None in particular. I mean, there haven't been any areas specifically set aside for any sort of at least initial preservation of that, with the exception of the buffer areas. I mean, every other area up front would be.
Preservation, I'm thinking more of encouraging recharge by allowing the recharge to occur efficiently without having runoff to sit away from the property and things like that.
Well, I would think in any situation, even with a natural ground cover where there is not an impervious surface, you're still going to get that recharge through lawns, even through the roadside swales, as that water is transmitted from the roadway down to the stormwater management treatment area. I would think that most certainly there would still be a recharge. The soils on the site are actually relatively excellent, with the exception of the Johnstown soils delineated in the tributary.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I just there's tab. I didn't point it out, but it may be helpful because if you haven't walked the site, my tab 6 has a photograph of the brook where there's the trail that goes through it. It's tab 6, and then this is a picture of the stream in the stream. It doesn't look like a stream in the little bridge that goes over it, because it's as of Monday, it was dry, and I think Mr. Perry says, you know, it may be dry most of the year. That location of those pictures, where that little walking bridge is across, is, I believe it's right about there. You can sort of see it on the map, too, where it sort of shrinks a little bit. So.
All right, sir. Mr. Robertson?
No question, just a couple comments. Mr. Willard, just with the restrictive covenants, they would have to be amended if it was approved to reference the, it talks about it generally, but the specific maintenance of erosion, sedimentation control, stormwater management, streets, roads, that type of thing.
Yeah, I didn't, and this is not by way of excuse, I actually didn't draft them, they got in before, but what I tried to do is make it very clear in the proposed conditions that they will be comply with what you want. They're going to have to be changed a little bit, because there's some reference to Kent County and that maintenance road agreement. So we fully intend to beef them up a little bit. Make
also
it clear.
Make sure it has the wetlands disclosure in it, because that wasn't included in there, and that needs to be there by code.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's all.
All right, sir. We thank you, Mr. Willard. If you and your folks would kindly stand down for a moment, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2006-31 South Shore Builders LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2006-31? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Please come up and give us your name and address, and you may have the floor.
Sir, good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Sir, you would direct your comments to me, okay, and to the rest of the commission, and if we want to ask a question of someone out there, we'll take care of it for you.
Thank you, sir.
There you go. Go right ahead.
Good evening. I'm Clarence Wayne Sennett, rural Allendale, Delaware. This subdivision that's proposed here, how you want to put it, is in a agricultural district area. It's in proposed to be in one of the last 1,000-acre pristine areas of Susquehanna, meaning that on the southeast side, south and to the east, it's the only homes in this whole block area. I'm here to go oppose this. I believe you'll find your possession, Sharon, Sam Morgan, Shannon Morgan sent you down a letter of allowing me to speak on her behalf.
That's in the record.
Yes, sir. We got it. Yes, sir.
This property is, incidentally, she and I both live approximately 2,500 feet due south over this location. This property is located in a very active farm, carried me. Chicken manure was spread on three adjacent fields just yesterday. Sweet out there. Large portion of the land in west and north is already in Delaware Agricultural District Preservation Area. It's the properties of Lawrence and Jenny Hausman, very dear friends, conservatives. I have a map if you wish to see it. Dictates that.
If you would like to hand it up, sure.
I certainly would,
sir. Take a look at it.
I'll point out the large area is right there. You see that?
Okay. Gentleman's indicating this area right here.
And it was that's the current map as of June 2007. Our area is, as I'll say, located in an overgrowth zone set up by our dear Governor Ruth Ann Miner. It's very odd that anyone would want or need to put a project of this size in an area without sewer or water. This is the thing that Sussex County is very soon going to have a problem with, water as well as our sewers. The wells in our area are located at 16 feet, 38 feet, 80 feet, respectively. I got this information from Paul White as of June 1st, 1966. His license is Well Driller 1. He was the first licensed well driller in Sussex County. He's a very dear friend. Came to the property where I live right now. I did not own it. I do not own where I live now. I'm a renter. In fact, that I wish I could do better, but judging everything, I'm doing the best I can. Most current well installation in our area was at my neighbor's. It was done by Weber Well Drilling of Frankfort, Delaware. It was done on Joyce and Frank Paquette's farm, or properties. They said, asked me who I'd recommend. I said to Waits. Dear friends, I'm not promoting their business, but there are the many people that put the wells in our area. Called them up, they couldn't put the well in this time. They had restraints on when to do, what to do, how to do, where to do. Called these boys, they said, we'll be right up tomorrow. Calls up here to the county, calls up Dinarac, gets a recommendation on depth. Their depth, because we have some issues with nitrogen inclusion into the wells, they said, go at least 250 feet if you can. Boys come in with these recommendations, bore down 200 feet and run the shaft off. Lost their bore point. Quit that day, we got a new bore point. Come back the next day, went into 255 feet, end up with a dry well. With no success, they went home. Poor Frank come over to me and said, Wayne, what am I going to do? I said, my best recommendations is go 80 feet and hope for the best. Get your well tested every 2 or 3 years. Go on with it. They did this. Tested it. Well, it's decent. It's workable. But there's enough water there for one homeowner. Everyone thinks you just have to drill deeper for water. I don't believe this. I think we have to really start conserving and utilize what we've got. We're all going to go thirsty. The large field irrigation system, everyone says, well, there's no, oh, you got plenty of water on your road. Ricky Daniels will wear pumping on crops every day. Yes, he is. But the water he's getting is not coming up out of the ground, may I present to you. It's coming out of church branch. A pristine area, may I be very proud to tell you about, is directly behind my home, where I live now. It has water lilies. It has other endangered species. I spoke at Dinarac 4 years ago when they were talking about digging out our ditch so Elmdale could be drained. And I spoke politely to them, please don't trespass. It's a fragile area. Don't go there. Leave it alone. Nature's doing a fine job. You don't have to add nothing. Don't add or subtract. Leave it alone. It's great. There's a young lady, some of the Smithsonian Institute was over and looked at it in 1994, which I'll speak on later on this. Due west of the project, 3,000 feet to each wells. And a 200-acre piece that's being tilled by Jimmy Wells, but it's owned by Lawrence Hausman. In this place, there's two wells. Why two? They're 150 feet apart because Edward L. Webb of Milton, who's passed away now, drilled these wells in hopes that he could put an irrigation system out there when he rented the property. He got these down 100 feet, no water. Pulled them back up to 80 feet. Had to hook two in to get enough water to run a traveling gun system. If you understand anything about agriculture, it's a movable gun. It moves up and down. Once unpowered, you supply it with the water. Water moves it up and down. Used it 1 year. After that, it was unusable. We don't have enough water there. Why there's no houses there? There's no water. Everyone can tell you, oh, there's plenty of water. Keep going deeper. Come on up and try your luck. Road 38. Perfect road. So it appears. Go up to Gadaniel's Pond Bridge. Right over with a truck. Don't go over too fast. You might lose your load. The up ramps, the down ramps are settling. I've called about this to numerous people to no avail. Maybe you all can help me with that. I called Alan Redden, who used to be the engineer of Sussex County years ago. Called him in 1995 about the problem. About the road flooding out. We get 5 inches of rain. Adjacent north of where this proposed development's going to be, the road floods out. Don't take my word for it. Ask people at Area 3. But watch when you call, there's only 80 employees there now. Why? Budget constraints. We have no money. I said to him, I said, why can't my road get fixed? Why can't you solve this water? We don't have the money, Wayne. I said, well, okay. Well, call now, 2007. In 1995, the money was spent on Highway 1. Guess what? Go to Rehoboth now. The money is being spent on Highway 1 again. I fully understand we're low priorities. We're out there in the woods. The best thing us to do is be still. Police, this is a real issue. And I hope you bear with me on this. Dear friends of mine, Bob and Pauline Porter, they live at the corner point of 232 and 38. They were robbed. Robbed as they were out walking their dogs. That was Fair Week, the last week of July. Their jewelry was stolen. Their money was stolen. His wife's pocketbook, everything thereof, therein, therefore, was gone, missing. Called the police. Took them 45 minutes exactly to get there. I got another one for you. Not realizing that he had a set of keys, she had a set of keys, and a spare set of keys to their car was in it. Their automobile was stolen last Friday. Once again, 45 minutes for the police to be here. Why I mention this, they were to come with me tonight, already well and evil. His wife was so upset, so scared to death, that she wouldn't even leave her home without a weapon. This is a pristine area, believe me. This isn't the Wild West, but believe me, better be prepared when you're out there living out there. Why is there no one out there? Because of five, six families wanted it that way. This is heritage land. This land has been passed down in generations. It's not a wimp in the wine for the people who live there. The reason why these gentlemen are here to propose that development is because the land was non-tillable land. What it's being used for right now is the exact use it should be for. It's providing food, shelter, bedding area, everything else for the wildlife. And this is a fact that I'm so proud to tell you all about. I don't know if you're all deer hunters or not, but the very biggest pristine deer ever killed in the state of Delaware was killed directly behind this property. The biggest deer. That's something to be very proud of. A fact that we're all proud of out there. Why is that deer grown there? Because nature was allowed to do what it does best. Takes care of itself, takes care of its own. I'm very passionate about this. I love this area. I could live anywhere. I came home from the military and Owen Morgan asked me, can you help me on the farm? I said, I most certainly will. He said, why'd you come on Allendale? You've been all over the world in the military service. He said, why'd you come on Allendale? I said, I have found no better place to die. I present that to you, gentlemen. This is a very nice area. We're very proud of it out there. We care for one another. We love our neighbors. Any happenings goes on, we take care of.
How is it as a place to live?
Say again?
How is it as a place to live?
Wonderful.
Okay, I just thought it was kind of unusual that you expressed it as a nice place to die.
That too. I mean, I want to live.
Just wondering, maybe it wasn't much to live in, so.
My point of view is it's a hunter's paradise.
It is, and we understand that. I would appreciate if you could maybe just wrap it up in about 30 seconds or so.
Here it is.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Septic systems. Mere feet from wetlands. I cannot even fathom that. In 1966, if you were near a wetlands place with a piece of equipment, you're subject to fine and imprisonment. Now we're speaking of covering over, doing away with, destroying. This is ludicrous. This is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. To BSA Land Resources Consultants. Sir, I do not take issue with your credentials. I do not take issue with your character. But I do wholeheartedly take issue with your findings. Very near to this property, without being on or whatever, there's freshwater lilies, giant ferns, and swamp pink. If you all are familiar with swamp pink is, it's located in all three of these cholesterol areas or water areas up here. The reason why this place is empty of water right now, look around, talk to any farmer in here, talk to any farmer in Sussex County. Last year we were 5 inches in deficit. This year right now on this said property where I live, were 12 and a half inches below water table. If we had that 12 and a half inches of water, they would not be riding up there in their BMWs and all such. They'd be walking up there in hip boots. How I know about this? The little house down at the edge of this, my wife and I, I'm proud to tell you, got married and lived there for 3.5 years. The property where I'm at now, we lived 27 years. I've lived in this area. I'm no expert on this area, but I tell you this. I've been out there in the rains. I've been out there in the floods. I've been out there pushing snow when the state couldn't or wouldn't come down my road. And lastly, in 1996, there was a young lady from the Smithsonian Institute was over. And she told me these facts. She said, whatever you do, Wayne, the reason why I've seen her rolling car parked up in our field, just knew it was somebody dumping her trespass. Put myself right over to her. I said, what do you think you're doing? She said, I'm here on a survey. I belong to Smithsonian Institute. I'm doing work, graduate work. I said, if anyone at any given time dares go near these wetlands, at all costs, you make certain that you call the Chesapeake Field Office of the American Fish and Wildlife Society. She said, you call them. Don't call the police. Call no one. You call them. She says, because you have federally protected products in this woods that need to be protected. They're nowhere else. They're nowhere else in Delaware. Like I said before, thank you very much.
All right, sir. We thank you. Does anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.